doing well, thanks.
Well, let's break it down. Everybody up here is talking about how Oklahoma, despite a 5-3 record, may be the greatest 5-3 team in the history of college football. I mean, if you're really going to get people's opinion that follow college football, most of us feel this is still a top 15 team in the country, despite them not being ranked that high. Do you agree with that? Is this team better than what they're given credit for nationally right now?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I definitely think their defense is worthy of really high consideration. This is probably one of the better defenses that Oklahoma's had in the past decade, which includes the Bob Stoops era. And that's saying something, because this has been a team that's really resurrected itself, a program that's resurrected itself on defense. So the fact that they have one of their better defenses, I think that's saying something. Obviously, a great front with guys like Gerald McCoy, Frank Alexander, Jeremy Beal, linebackers Ryan Reynolds. I mean, they've really got a great front there, and that defense has just been outstanding. But offensively, still not a great offensive unit. They've got some guys at skill positions that are starting to come around. Obviously, Landry Jones filling in for Sam Bradford has shown some signs of doing some nice things and maybe one day being a great player for them. Ryan Broyles at receiver. They've got some nice skill players, but offensive line is still a huge concern for them. And special teams has been okay. I mean, it's not been outstanding either. So you've got sort of this great defense, some pretty decent skill players doing some pretty decent things. And then after that, it's a little bit of a question mark. So, yeah, I still think in some regards they're a really good team, and in others they've definitely got some weaknesses and some deficiencies. So kind of depends on matchup. I think that's an interesting thing about Saturday with Nebraska's defensive front.
What's the buzz like because of the fact that they're out of the national championship hunt, and that's kind of a weird place for them to be in early November? Are the fans, are the media locked into this game at all down there?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is one of those games that maybe wasn't at the beginning of the season, sort of on the front of people's minds. But clearly, this is a team now that, games against good teams, and especially road games against good teams, are losable. And I think everybody recognizes that within the Sooner Nation. And so, I think this is a game that most people are really interested to see exactly how Oklahoma's offensive unit does against this Nebraska defense. So while maybe it wasn't one of those marquee games, now I think any game that, is a losable game is one that people are paying attention to. And I think this is definitely a game that's got some interest down in Oklahoma.
Jenny Carlson is our guest here via the 201 Bank Hotline. Clearly Nebraska's offense has had its struggles this year, but people that watch Nebraska struggle to a victory against Baylor on Saturday, then got a chance to tune in and watch OU and Kansas State on Saturday night, and they saw Kansas State team put up 30 points. Granted, there's a return in there as well, but how did they do that? Because this Oklahoma defense is so strong, at least my own opinion watching the game, it looked like Oklahoma got a little disinterested once they got up 28-9. Was that the feel from your standpoint as well, or did Kansas State do some things and expose some things in that Oklahoma defense?
Yeah, I think it was probably a combination of both. I think that there probably was a little bit of a dip in intensity once Oklahoma went up as quickly and as big as they did. The thing about this Oklahoma team that they have, I guess, yet to realize is that they can't go on cruise control against anybody. I mean, this is not a team, they don't have the top to bottom, front to back talent and ability to go cruise control on anybody. So I think if they put it on cruise control Saturday, they got a rude awakening. And, so maybe we don't see that happen again. But I think K-State is obviously, they're improved just from the standpoint that I think under Bill Snyder, they, are more, a little bit more in control of things and a little bit more in the know of what's going on. But I think you did see some letdown from Oklahoma once they went up, and maybe they learned their lesson. I don't know. But if they find themselves in that position again and let down, against a team maybe better than K-State, maybe it doesn't end up so well for them.
Jenny Carlson, columnist for the Daily Oklahoman, our guest here on the Tier 1 Bank Hotline. How much different is this offense with Landry Jones versus Sam Bradford at the helm? How much different styles do they have? How much different is the play calling?
I don't know if the style is dramatically changed. I think because Sam and Landry are you know, very similar quarterbacks. Neither of them are scrambling quarterbacks. They're both, you know, primarily pocket guys with sort of that same build and same mentality and same style of how they play the game. You know, I think that probably there may be some things that they would do under Sam, with Sam, that would be a little bit different than what they're entrusting Landry to do at this point. I think one of the big things is that Sam Bradford, it was obvious when he was in there against Baylor, which was his most prolonged on-field experience this year, just how much faster they played offensively. I mean, they got to the line and got plays off, and just the tempo and the speed that with which they played was really dramatically higher, which was surprising to me. I was like, oh, I don't think that they play that much faster with Sam Bradford, but clearly they played faster with Sam Bradford. The biggest issue, though, regardless of who was going to quarterback this team, offensive line. I know I've said it about 1,000 times already, but that to me has been the biggest thing for them that has limited their play book this year. And that would have been the case whether Sam was playing or Landry's having to play. That's been their biggest bugaboo on the offense this year.
The guy that has made the biggest difference to me is Ryan Broyles. I mean, when they missed him, they missed him. And I think he adds a completely different element to this offense.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. They don't have anybody else like him on that offense. You know, DeMarco Murray has that sort of burst and that big play ability. But when it comes to the receivers, there's nobody else. And the fact that you are their offense is without Jermaine Gresham, who had that sort of big play ability at his repertoire, you lose him, and then you've got a young receiver core that a lot of those receivers just had a hard time catching the ball, much less making dramatic plays. Ryan Broyles gives them a different element on offense, and maybe sort of gives those other guys who have struggled a chance to take a deep breath and realize, okay, we've got this guy on the field. We don't have to do everything. I mean, some guys, when they lose that star, they step up. We've seen up close and personal Oklahoma State, although they maybe didn't show it last week, but losing their best receiver in Dez Bryant, they've had some guys step up. They've taken that challenge and done it. Where at Oklahoma, you see those guys have kind of, you know, taken that and been like, oh, I don't know, I'm, you know, dropping a lot of passes and those things like that. So Ryan Broyles not only helps them, just him being out there catching balls and making plays, but maybe allowing those other guys a chance to sort of let their abilities show instead of, you know, having the struggles that they've had without him.
Offensive line was the big question mark coming into the year for Oklahoma. It continues to be their question mark. You've already talked about it a couple of times over the course of this interview. How do they approach Nebraska's interior defensive line? Some people asking the same question of Nebraska, how they approach the interior of Oklahoma's defensive line. How do they do that? Do you pick your poison? Obviously, we saw what Jared Crick is capable of doing last weekend. I mean, you try to double one, it's going to be a problem for the other.
Yeah, clearly, and I think that what Crick did last week, you know, while obviously Ndamukong Suh has to strike fear into the hearts of anyone that is about ready to play Nebraska, I think that if you're Oklahoma, you maybe are more concerned about the fact that, you know, now you have this evidence that it's not just one guy that could do it, but it's two. So, you know, I don't know exactly how they approach that, but I think they're going to have to do some things in, you know, maybe bringing some blockers out of the backfield, maybe asking tight ends to do more in the way of blocking. I don't think that they can get it done with the offensive line that they have. I think they have to call in some help from some of those other, some of those other guys. And, you know, I'm sure some of the play selection will also be looking to negate some of that, you know, quick hitting stuff, some bubble screens. I mean, stuff like that that can maybe negate some of the need to have their offensive line blocking for a prolonged period of time. Because I just don't think that they can hold off that Nebraska defensive line the whole game. I think they're going to get their sacks. I think they're going to get their pressure. So Oklahoma's obviously going to have to find some ways to get their shots in where they can.
How much has Jones improved over the course of this season, in your opinion?
I think he's improved, I don't know if you could say dramatic improvement. I thought when he came in the BYU game, I thought he showed a pretty decent command of things. And considering this is a guy that spent, you know, the 6 or 8 months prior to that thinking, you know what, I'm going to back up a Heisman Trophy winner this year. I mean, mentally, what the guy had to go through just, you know, in a, you know, snap of the fingers. To me, that was pretty amazing mentally that he was able to flip it on, become the starter, and do okay. And I think the fact now, I mean, you hate to say that Sam Bradford shutting it down for the season is a positive, because if they had their druthers, they'd have him back in a second. But the fact that he's now a for sure, you know, on the shelf, doing the rehab thing, it's enabled Landry Jones not only mentally to say, this is my team, this is my offense, but to have all the reps. I mean, when Sam Bradford was in that sort of, you know, let's see how he plays, let's see how he practices, he's getting the percentage of those snaps with that first team offense. Now Landry Jones is getting all those snaps. So I think there has obviously been some improvement there, and there will continue to be. I think now as he gets more of those snaps, you know, I thought he was pretty decent to start with, but it's going to be interesting to see how the rest of this year, how much of a learning curve he's on. I think at the end of the year, we'll probably look back and say, you know what, he did improve quite a bit.
Jenny, always appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, guys.